The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Fass ist verboten!
This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
As the bell tower slowly sinks beneath the waves, A Walk in the Black Forest rises phoenix-like from the ashes to bring you episode 231. On tonight's show, we cross live to the US to explore the influx of Walmart franchising the Nazis, Pete's philosophical, metaphysical, supercalifragilistical conundrum, the Geldof saga continues... Copyright, all that, and a red flag to a bull. A Walk in the Black Forest, stuffed for your oral satisfaction.
This is a Walking by Forest 2RRR 88.5 FM. That was Bikini Machine. It's a French covers band doing a cover of the 1960s Jacques Dutronc song La Responsable. That was a tribute to our...
Why did I know that was coming?
I don't know.
Well, we had Trampoline in before us, and I thought, you know, a nice link from the Trampoline listeners through to us.
Any opportunity to speak French? You'd think he was on Degrassi Junior High.
Oh, you'd think so.
Hello, how are you today? I'm good, and you?
Thank you for that. This is, as I said right at the top of Walking Back Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. Now, for those of you who have been following the show for the last couple of weeks, except last week because neither Abe nor I bothered showing up, I believe you were here,
here,
Richard.
I was here.
Spirit. Yep.
But we've been talking about the the throwing out the barbed wire welcome mat of doom to American retailer Walmart here into Australia, because there's been a lot of rumours about Walmart coming in, either taking over Woolworths or Coles. Now, during the week, the whole potential they're going to take out Coles was actually blown out of the water a little bit, because American private equity firm KKR, who's noted for buying companies, reducing their labour costs to almost zero, then breaking them up, has put in a more formal bid for Coles. But Walmart is still in the mix for looking at taking over our other half of our retailing colossus that is Woolworths.
And none of it is good news for Australia, really.
Yeah, and of course, I think they could probably rename themselves from the fresh food people to the cheap Chinese packaged junk food people.
I noticed that.
But as I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, a lot of the information we've been getting about Walmart, and particularly about their labour practices with their suppliers and subcontractors, has come from an American organisation called the International Labour Rights Fund. And on the line, and hopefully technology is allowing us to do this and make this work, we should have Trina Tocco from the International Labour Rights Fund. Trina, can you hear us? Can you hear us, Trina? Hello? Technology.
It's working well.
Technology.
Walmart are onto us.
Walmart are definitely onto us. We'll let our panel guy go through that. We should actually say that Trina, when we get on the line, has worked for a number of years on the issue of sweatshops and with various organisations, including the United Students Against Sweatshops. Now, the International Labour Rights or fund is an organisation that's designed to get just and humane treatment for workers worldwide. And
how do they get by financially, Pete?
That I don't know, and that's a question I think we can ask her when we
I would think money would be hard to come by. You would think.
You would think so, and I think once we have a chance to perhaps rework the technology in the next break, we'll try and get it to work.
No worries. So does that mean we're going to take a break because it's an important issue?
We are going to take a break.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to stay throwing them out of the country any longer.
No, neither do I. And of course, we'll hopefully remove Walmart from our lines.
Right.
Be nice.
Excellent. Shall we?
Yeah, let's play a song.
Okay.
A lot in the Black Forest.
Get this stupid program off the air.
Part of the Jean Collective.
Get that shit off.
That was Helmet, what you heard
a little
bit of. I
thought that was
Helmet? That was Helmet, yes.
Oh,
and,
okay, well, I retract that. Last,
retract that entirely.
I thought you might.
And hopefully the technological gremlins have now sorted themselves out, and hopefully we should have on the line from the International Labour Rights Fund, Trina Tocco.
Can you hear us now? Hello, Trina. Yes, excellent. Technology is finally working for itself. Thank you for joining us all the way from Washington, D.C. Now, as you may have heard, we've been talking about this in email, the concept that Walmart is talking about purchasing one of Australia's largest retailers, which is both a supermarket grocery chain and a sort of mixed goods, sort of Big W style, sort of homewares type chain. Now, for Australian suppliers who probably make up about 50% of the products that are actually sold at those stores, what sort of treatment can those Australian suppliers expect when Walmart, or if Walmart, comes into Australia and starts dealing with them as a you know, the supplier-retailer relationship?
Yeah, so first off, it's probably actually very unlikely, unfortunately, that 50% of the suppliers will continue to be Australian by the time that Walmart actually moves in to a community. That's because whenever they develop their retail operations in a certain country, they integrate some of the current supply chain, but then they also expand their already growing supply chain. They try not to duplicate their efforts, and so it's more efficient for them to then begin to use, you know, products coming from China, or especially South Asia, which is where, you know, their toys or electronics are coming from.
So how much of Walmart's current U.S. supply comes either directly manufactured in China or produced by American firms also using China or Asian or South American labor?
So there's a lot of questions. So it's actually, unfortunately, incredibly difficult to determine exactly how much production at any one given time Walmart has in any particular continent, even, or country. And the reason is because Walmart has refused time and time again to release this information publicly. And so a lot of times the only way to get information is from their yearly reports that they produce concerning their suppliers. And so the last one that they've officially released is from 2004, because they still are working on their 2005. And so the 2004 states that about 60,000 suppliers are actually in the United States. My hunch is that some of that is probably food, and that a lot more of that is probably very specialized products. Our estimates are also, it's unclear of how much production, both for food and manufacturing, is coming from Central America. And the rough numbers are that about 70% of all merchandise that's sold in Walmart is coming from China. So that means their toys and electronics.
How many suppliers would they have outside of the U.S. then? I mean, you're saying 60,000 in
yeah.
the U.S. Is this
yeah, no, no, yeah, people have no idea, so I don't even want to begin to guess.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when you go into a store, you can see that, I mean, they offer a wide variety of products, all being made in very different places. Very rarely do I see something made in the U.S., which is why I think a lot of the food, at least at the Walmarts in the U.S.,
because a lot of it, they've just got no choice.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
So how much, I mean, what I'm interested, I guess, for me is the power relationship that, that Walmart has with the suppliers. I think here, if we look at the two major chains that, that produce or sell that sort of product, the competition is roughly 50-50. There's a fair amount of competition. How much sway or how much power does Walmart exert over its suppliers?
So the best way for me to explain this is to actually talk about some of the other largest corporations in the world and say that Walmart has brought them to their knees. So companies like Procter & Gamble, companies like Coca-Cola, DuPont, all, you know, Dole, Del Monte, all of these huge, huge companies, when anybody goes to actually communicate with them about their egregious labor standards or other, you know, environmental problems that they have, the first thing they talk about is Walmart. And they talk about how Walmart is putting so much competition out there that it's forcing them to go even to meet Walmart at the bottom, because that's the only way that they can stay afloat and compete with the giant Walmart.
Is there anything that they can do other than just keep cutting prices to try and compete on that level? I mean, are they actually trying to, I don't know, do something?
Yeah, I mean, right, like cumulatively, they all have more power than Walmart, but right,
yeah, sure.
This all means competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and so when you're in the race to the bottom, it's, you know, you for yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as someone who has more progressive leanings,
yeah,
I would suggest something like working together results in, you know, positives for all of us. Whereas, you know, unfortunately, the corporate model does not, you know, follow that path.
Yeah, right.
I mean, though, I think that there are, I mean, I think companies are beginning to see that they've got to figure out another way. Or they have to change the way that they do things. And so either companies have said, we're not going to deal with Walmart, or they've developed lower quality products or other things like that so that they can actually produce them at a lower cost.
So does that mean that technically, with all these other companies that were competing with Walmart, does that mean that now instead of companies competing to find the best product, they're actually really only competing to find the cheapest product, the cheapest way to manufacture that product?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, different people tell the stories of, you know, buying a pair of Levi's at Walmart, and that, you know, after a year, the buttons will come off, or the zipper will break. And that's something that, you know, people that have been wearing Levi's for, you know, decades, have never experienced. And it's absolutely what's happening is that the quality of the product at Walmart, is much lower than that of, you know, a typical, store, you know, that has been around for decades.
So not only that, if the quality is also suffering, then if they're also cutting corners there, are they also cutting corners, say, in environmental standards to produce these? So not only cutting labor costs, but cutting environmental standards to produce a lower quality product?
So there's a little difference in terms of labor conditions and environmental conditions, in that a lot of times improving your environmental record is actually cost-effective. So in a lot of ways, Walmart is at least making some strides on the environmental realm. We're still not seeing that in their supply chain, though. For instance, you know, how far are they shipping products back and forth? You know, what at the factory level, what are the environmental, you know, conditions? And those are things that Walmart still hasn't gotten to. But for instance, like all, they've set up, you know, a ton of energy saving stores, at least in the United States. And I think that they've there's all these anecdotes where they've, you know, encouraged the truck drivers to turn off their trucks an hour a day. To save energy, because apparently Walmart is the largest consumer of electricity in the U.S.
It saves their power bill as well, though. Their power bill, their petrol bill. They get their if they get their truck drives to turn off the engines, then they're also saving money for themselves.
That's what I was saying, that the environmental also has cost ramifications, which is why they're often more quicker to move in that direction. Though environmentalists will absolutely say that they have a long way to go.
Yeah. In a way, we're talking about the cheap quality goods before. In a way, that's almost an infinite cycle, isn't it? Because you buy the cheaper goods and they're cheaper and they fail quicker, like you were talking about the Levi's, which means they're just going to buy more quicker.
Absolutely.
So it's just like a never-ending cycle, isn't
it? Yes. No, absolutely. And so the cost savings that you potentially incurred the first time around buying a product, as you add it up over the years, you're probably not actually saving money. Yeah. But the reality is the typical Walmart shopper, at least in the United States, is living paycheck to paycheck in a lot of ways. And so they're thinking about the here and now, which is understandable because, I mean, Walmart has created a system that feeds off of that mentality.
Yeah, that's fucked.
It's not good, is it?
No. Particularly if you're working for Walmart as well, because if you're working for them, you're getting underpaid.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work for anybody. So what they're actually doing is they're creating a lower class.
I mean, just read all the stories about how, Ford, created his cars so that the workers could buy them.
Yeah.
In the same way that Walmart workers, I just hear these stories of Walmart workers then go and spend their paycheck at their, job.
Yeah, that's great.
So they're basically fueling the purchasing of their products. So many different levels, there are major concerns with a company as big as Walmart.
Now, one of the things that has started to progress here in Australia is that, and it has been obviously the case for the last 10, 20 years, has been the continued use of labour in low-paid wage countries. And Walmart has been reasonably well known for using labour in China and in South America. One of the more famous, well publicised stories was the Kathy Lee Gifford clothing line, where researchers, investigators found her to be her clothes being produced by children, 12, 13, 14 year old kids. Is there any of that sort of questionable standards around Walmart's international operations?
So Walmart, in their 2004 supplier report, also indicated that they severed business relationships with 108 suppliers or factories, predominantly in China, because they had stated that for the most part of those 108, they wouldn't give an official number, but that it was because they were using child labor or under the acceptable.
That is staggering.
And so that was in 2004, and that was just in China. My hunch is actually that if you look in agriculture, because unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, in a lot of ways, children have been taken out of manufacturing, and have gone, or they were just always in these other sectors, but we noticed manufacturing more. But so they've gone to the more non-formal sector. Or agriculture is still riddled with forced labor, child labor.
Because you never hear about that in the big media, certainly not out here. It's all, stitching clothes and stuff like that. So,
absolutely.
So Walmart has severed those relations. But then again, have they got systems in place where perhaps their own suppliers, I mean, you take an example of other companies that perhaps are producing under those conditions, has Walmart got standards in place for its suppliers as well? I mean, obviously Walmart get a lot of stuff produced themselves, but have they got things in place for Levi's, for example, for those sort of for issues like child labor?
Yes. So I will also say that it was very difficult to, of those 108 factories, it was the only thing that Walmart mentioned was a primary reason why they would ever stop working with the company was because of child labor. But we don't know, exactly how many of those factories. And so what we do know, though, is Walmart does have a code of conduct called Standards for Suppliers, and it does have language about child labor. It's actually an okay code of conduct as codes of conduct go. Unfortunately, the reality is codes of conduct are often just PR tools. Just about every company that's ever been targeted has one as a way of kind of covering their tracks. And here at International Labor Rights Fund, we actually filed a lawsuit on behalf of workers in five different countries China, Bangladesh, Swaziland, Nicaragua, and Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Because under Walmart standards for suppliers, it's actually a contract, because Walmart and the suppliers sign at the dotted line. And as the workers being the third-party beneficiary, or the people who are expected to be delivered certain rights under the contract, and what we're arguing is that their rights under the contract have been violated. And so the workers are suing Walmart in U.S. courts.
Hmm. Just so I guess the end of this is how quickly can Walmart come in and set up? I'm assuming if they buy out another one of our chains, how quickly can they turn over their supply chain to what they typically do? Does it take them a while, or pretty much they have the blueprint, they just walk straight in and everything gets changed overnight effectively? And the second part is, you know, what do we do from this end?
So I think that, so I'll answer the second part of your question first,
yeah.
which is, so I think if you haven't already, it might be very useful to talk with a number of the organizations in the U.S. that have been doing what we're calling site fights. There's also organizations in Mexico, because Walmart's the largest private employer in Mexico as well. And so there's lots of strategies and thinking out there about how to best not just defeat Walmart, but defeat the business model.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the reality is Walmart's the biggest, but there's lots more like Walmart, just of a much smaller scale.
We probably fly under the radar, to be honest.
Yes, and because so much attention has been focused on Walmart, we've forgotten about the other folks. And so there's lots of efforts to develop what we're calling big box ordinances. So things like you have to pay your workers a certain amount of money, you have to do, you know, or ethical sourcing, other things like that. And then, oh, no, I forget the first part of your question.
how quickly can they march in and change everything?
I mean, I think that's pretty tough to determine. I think we can say, though, with fair certainty, right, is that they've had practice.
Yeah.
Since they have, you know, retail operations in a number of,
well, I guess that's
the
thing. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. In the different countries that they're in, I'm assuming they just use the same suppliers in each country, right? So
they adopt some of the same suppliers that are currently being used, but then they also integrate into their supply chain. So, yeah, unfortunately, sorry, I don't have the magic number for you.
No, that's cool. Would you better give us the website address for the International Labour Rights Fund so people
absolutely
can, because you guys have got heaps of stuff on there to have a look at.
Anything else you want to throw out onto the air at this point?
Mm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yes, our website is laborrights.org. And on that website, anyone can go and deliver an email directly to Walmart, indicating that they're concerned about the current practices that Walmart is using.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would also say is, because a lot of times people talk about boycotts, and so I will just quickly say that I don't think that any of us boycotting Walmart is going to make a difference in their bottom line.
Yeah.
But what I'm suggesting is that when people are in Walmart to shop, if Walmart ever does come to your communities, that you actually ask the tough questions to the people that work there.
Yeah.
Because then that shows Walmart that their consumers are thinking about these issues.
And they'd be tracking all their suppliers and all that sort of stuff, wouldn't they?
I'm not sure.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us and giving us all this information. As I said, we're fighting the good fight from this end, and I think any information that our listeners can get, can check out the website. We'll give out the address throughout the rest of the show, and we'll put it up on our own website. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
And hopefully we can not have Walmart in this country. It'll be a
well,
nice outcome.
Luck.
Stem the tide.
Great. Thanks a lot for that, Trader.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, that heart sting in the middle, just boom, far.
Yeah. See, we're not afraid to double it.
We're not afraid to double it
in the Black Forest.
Boom, far. That's a word I just made up. Do you like it?
Yeah,
boom, far.
Hey, I made a double play it or whatever I just said.
It's 7 minutes past the hour, 11 o'clock here on
2 I should do a subtitle thing.
Okay, sure.
So that whenever we come back from a break and we always do an in-joke.
Yep.
Abe just turned me down, by the way. I could hear that.
Hey, I'm going levels, all right?
Who's you working on?
Then when the jokes are out of the way, you just go,
what really happened is we had this little comment off air, and then we decided
just following the comment through, and
Abe pulled one out of his ass and said, should we double it? Double play it.
And then he turned around and said, I have no idea what I just said. It is around 8 minutes past the hour, 11 o'clock here on 2RR88.5 FM, a walk in the Black Forest. For those of you who do want to check out the website that Trino was talking about from the International Labour Rights Fund, it's laborrights.org, and that's labour spelled the American way, L-A-B-O-R, laborrights.org. It will be on the Walk in the Black Forest website probably tomorrow with the links and some information about the interview as well. So thank you very much, Trina, for chatting about that. Right, I'm going to stop talking for a while. Anyone else want to start talking?
I don't know. You got anything? What have we got? What's coming up on the show?
What's next on the list, panel man?
Because
I'm not busy or anything. Okay, let me just explain something exactly what's going on. Playing with the CD player, right? Trying to, like, get the next song ready.
Yep.
And instead of actually just happily filling, they both look at me, flip it out, and say to me, "So, what are we doing next?" And I'm thinking to myself, "I don't know about you, but I'm already doing something now."
I was doing my segment intro. Thank you very much.
Oh, is that a segment intro?
Yeah, that's the start of I Don't Like Mondays.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. In the time-honored fashion.
Nobody's gonna go to school today. They're gonna keep.
In the time-honored fashion of you,
them,
get on with it.
At home.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen.
Daddy doesn't understand it.
Gildolf.
He always said she was good as gold.
Have you learnt these lyrics this week, or
is it? That's what they said on the internet.
Check out this photo.
Yep. Visual gag.
I'll show Abe first.
Visual gag.
Because otherwise you get upset. It's actually a photo of peaches for free Geldof.
Mm-hmm.
With a roll-your-own cigarette up her nostril.
Oh, is that what that was?
Oh, nice.
And a young man poking it there.
Nice. Who's had his face. He's unfortunately got a very bad facial scarring. It looks exactly like it's been blurred out.
Yeah, it's a new
That's
disease
an
called
facial scarring.
Called pixelationitis.
It's bad.
There's no cure for it.
No,
it's contagious apparently.
There's no cure for it.
It's amazing how many people on Current Affair seem to have pixelationitis.
I was just going to say that, you know.
Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Well, you know, Ray Martin started it.
He did.
He originally had it. And
did he? Is that why he wears the wig?
It's just impregnated from there, really.
Oh, fair enough.
So,
it started in the same way that the HIV started.
There's a silicon chip inside your head.
So, this is the features.
So, with this photo...
It's a chocolate cigarette, isn't it?
So, what do you think of the photo, Pete? What does that immediately say to you?
That Peaches doesn't really know how to... But actually, no. That if you asked her, she'd answer, "I didn't inhale."
And Abe?
Well, looking at this picture, it says to me that Peaches is trying to snort a line of coke off this guy's palm.
Yeah, but it's actually a cigarette. And it's called a bullet, is that right? It's called a bullet. Basically, you put stuff inside the rolly.
And
you snort it up your nose that way.
Drug paraphernalia and drug terminology.
Oh, so I was close.
You were.
By reading the little caption.
Mm.
You were very close by reading the caption. Unfortunately, you were wrong.
I didn't read the caption.
No.
Didn't you? You said you did.
What?
Anyway, so one of the
Jesus.
UK tabloids.
That's my son.
One of the UK tabloids.
Yes.
Is it the same one who got that guy, the singing guy,
one
who's going out with Kate
tabloids.
Moss?
Yep.
Kate Moss. Yeah.
Yeah, Pete Doherty from the
Libertines.
Mm.
One of the UK tabloids published this photo, and everyone is up in arms that she's a smack addict.
Mm-hmm.
And her excuse
Who said she's
was
an addict?
Excuse.
She
was,
might have been an addict.
I don't know. They didn't say smack
I'm not an addict. It's cool.
I threw that in because it's
some form of pharmaceutically
user.
Illegal drug.
It basically raises the profile of the story if I embellish it with my own detail.
True or untrue?
Do you work on a Current Affairs show on TV?
Well, you know, we're not technically journalists.
Do you have pixelationitis then?
This is technically
A comedy show.
So I can extend this any way I want.
Fair enough.
Now, at this same party was John Howard.
Not the John Howard, actually, just a John Howard.
You're not going to believe that one, though.
No, that one's going to go a bit far.
Would you believe
Peter Costello was there, though? Yeah.
You know, I would believe Peter Reith because I haven't seen him recently.
I met Helen Coonan on Friday night.
How was Helen?
His pet dog.
Bond.
Alexander Downer was also there.
Was he?
His pet dog or Alexander Downer?
Both.
Oh.
Now, where's my story?
Have you seen them in the same room?
Wilson,
no.
Wilson Tuckey is John Howard's pet dog.
Right.
Whenever he needs someone to distract someone,
anyway,
send him out.
So, Bobby came out and said, she's only 17.
So?
And the silicon chip inside her head is switched to overload.
Yeah. He basically said, she's only 17. She goes to gigs. She does a bit of DJing.
Yep.
And it was only a cigarette. She doesn't go out to any more clubs than most kids do.
Mm.
And he really supported her and then cut her allowance.
Again.
Again.
You know, and I think that the most important thing is that...
She's only going to be able to afford two lines a day on that allowance.
Well, see, the thing is, what she's doing is she's scabbing off other people. It's other people's bullets.
Well, John Howard was there. Bullets were there. Mm. Now, she's always paid out on the OC, so she's not too bad.
Mm.
She's paying out on the OC. Yeah. Why exactly?
So, programs like the... Do you watch the OC?
I've seen the OC a number of times.
I've never seen
the OC. I got a bit addicted to the OC.
So I don't come from anywhere near an area of expertise.
I've never seen an episode, but I can name half the cast.
I'm quite happy to take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Were they all in, like, films you used to watch when you were younger?
No, last week. Yeah. Misha Barton. She was in a film I watched last week.
Right.
Really?
So she basically said programs like the OC are already having a bad effect on people. You see girls and boys extremely snobby and unwelcoming to people who aren't beautiful, and it's horrible. Because they see perfect girls on TV, they believe the only way they will get accepted by their peers is to have plastic surgery.
Isn't that interesting coming from a girl who thinks the only way she can get acceptance from her peers is to snort drugs?
That is bizarre.
I'd like to remind people that we're not journalists.
But the English tabloid that reported that...
Well, technically, but only technically.
Mm. Now, Bobby insists that she's a normal child.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like a normal child to me.
He said,
a cigarette
as a dad, I just get extraordinarily annoyed at the accusations that have been levelled at her recently. She's a 17-year-old girl. She's allowed to go out no more parties, really, than other kids used to.
Mm-hmm.
Except she DJs. How many kids DJ?
Yeah, she goes to a rock festival. She does a DJ thing on the odd occasion for 80 quid a night. I mean, give her a break. The pictures of her are a load of shit. It's just too much. She's only 17.
You know, he's obsessed with her age.
So
she thinks this is good for her. She'll have a Peter Pan complex.
Explain. Like that girl from Austria. But explain.
What girl from Austria?
I'll explain later.
There was a girl from Austria?
There was.
You're giving me so much time to build up a line, so just get it out.
The girl from Austria who'd been locked in a garage by a mid-40s old guy for 10 years.
So not what I had planned. But, anyway.
No.
But don't build up the line for too long, because otherwise Peaches will snort it.
Yeah. Fair call. Good line.
That's pretty good. That makes up for mine.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you feel like going back on where I'm done, Pete, feel free, because I do have a line sitting in the back there.
It'd be
a shame to waste it. I could probably use it next week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now, she's come out also, Peaches for free. Is that the line from the song?
Millions of Peaches.
I bloody hope it is, because it's the one I used on the website.
Millions of Peaches. That says she's dating Noel Fielding.
So am I.
Noel Fielding?
Who's Noel Fielding?
He's a comedian from the Mighty Bush. I think that's the Arctic Bush. I think those guys... You know the Arctic Bush guys? From
it's the Arctic Monkeys.
No, Arctic Monkeys are a band. Arctic Bush are a comedy duo.
I don't know this.
They're on television, Peter. You should know.
I don't watch television.
Oh, God, they've been around for decades.
I only watch... Decades. I don't watch... I literally do not watch television. It rots...
I heard Red Dwarf's back on.
It rots my brain. Television rots my brain.
Now, she's... Noel's spokesperson has denied the claim. This is absolutely not true. Noel has a girlfriend, and he is not even in the country at the moment.
That doesn't mean that she's not seeing him at some point or another.
You'd think she'd do her research.
In Ibiza.
Ibiza? I'm in Ibiza, and she's DJing in Ibiza. Oh, look, that's a nice cigarette. Tastes funny, don't it?
Now, Lily Allen. Did I talk about Lily Allen's?
Who's Lily Allen?
Lily Allen's currently got the number one hit in the UK.
Well, did it a couple of weeks ago.
Who's?
Keith Allen's daughter.
Oh, really?
Keith Allen?
British comedian Keith Allen.
Did you know
she's... Look at the song in the order.
She's also Mrs. Allen's daughter as well. I'm just letting you know right now.
Hey, Mrs. Allen, you've got a lovely daughter.
Well... Let's just see, shall we?
Yeah.
Now, she was the young lassie who had on her website, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, that Bob Geldof is a cunt.
Yeah, that's the one.
I believe was the line. Wait, I'm just quoting.
That was a direct quote. I'm going with the direct quote.
I don't care.
He's writing it down. You're written down. You're in the book. You know this.
Okay, so that was the line. Did you get it? Bob.
What?
Geldof.
All right, sorry.
Is.
Yep.
A.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the rest. He said, Peaches. Peaches.
I believe it is Bob Geldof is an Arctic bush. Would that be correct?
She said.
That's what I used to call Margaret Thatcher, apparently. Yeah. Let's not go into that now.
Peaches, anyway. Peaches told, apparently told some friends under confidence, I hate that Lily Cokehead Allen, and someone passed the message on to Lily.
They're good friends.
Lily came up to her and spat on her.
Lovely.
And,
these girls are top. They're top class. They are you know, this is the thing.
The role models.
The thing I
She's
like...
She's only 17. She's only 17.
Now, let's
Give
think
Give the kid a break.
So far, we've got one young 17-year-old woman who has too much money, DJs a lot, goes out a lot to parties, takes drugs, apparently, allegedly, being attacked by another young woman who apparently is a cokehead and spits on people. You know, this has World Wrestling Federation style dramatics.
80 quid's not bad for a gig.
It's not bad for a gig. It's more than I got by DJing in New York.
Yeah, but she's good.
Without saying.
It does.
But, wait, how did that go, by the way?
It's probably about a million DJs in New York. A million DJs.
Interestingly, though.
Peaches for free?
I was going to say that Lily Allen and Peaches are providing, and the line now just makes no sense. But, provide as much a role model as Prince Harry.
Hey, your mic's working today, by the way.
It is working okay today. I'm feeling good.
Well, he has it stuck up his friggin' nose. Could it get any closer to his face?
Did you see the photos of Prince Harry partying?
Yes.
Basically just walking around with his hand on a woman's breast.
Look, if you can do it, why not?
I guess if Dad can get away with it, why not?
Yeah, but let's be honest. I think he might have got mixed up between crown jewels and someone else's jewels.
Well, you wouldn't want to mess with him. Get your head chopped off.
Well, either that or wear his Nazi outfit again, which was all class.
That was awesome. I thought that was great because, you know, it is family heritage.
Acceptable. I like they are Germanic.
They're Germanic. Of course they're Germanic.
Yeah.
Look, even Abe's shuddering.
No, it's true.
Why are you?
I'm not shuddering.
All right.
I'm sitting here.
Good. So Peaches immediately tried to make peace.
Oh yes,
but Lily walked
away. Gobbing back on
and
Lily?
She goes, "Here you, bitch! Don't gob on me, you right skank,
skanky hoe."
Yeah.
No, she's English. She doesn't say hoe. Yeah,
and Peaches later said to reporters, "I never said anything about her. I've known her since I was about 10, and there's no problem."
I've been misquoted.
Mm. Now give me another line. Just like to remind people, we're not journalists. Now, Ronnie Wood from the... Oh, no, actually, let's go back to Peaches.
Okay.
I got a bit more Peaches. Peaches for free.
All right.
We'll go with Peaches.
All right, go with Peaches.
I'm trying to
have a bit of a lifetime.
This is actually the more amusing one, but I'll do that anyway because we're in a bit of a theme at the moment. So Peaches went out with Alex Heathcote. Do you know Alex Heathcote?
No.
He's a DJ.
Oh, really? Big fucking surprise.
Everyone's a DJ. Anyway,
I'm
like,
a DJ.
Like everybody else in this world, he's got a MySpace page. Anyway, and his nickname is Ping.
Ping.
Hey, Bing.
is he called Ping because his schlong can't swing?
Well, the interesting thing is it says Ping, a.k.a. Alex Heathcote.
DJ Ping?
So Ping's his main name.
Is it DJ Ping?
No, it's just Ping.
It's his main
Ping.
Name. He's actually born Ping.
I don't think he's graduated to DJ yet.
Ping or that's MC Ping.
Yeah, you know, it's like corporal.
Or I'm sleeping.
He dated Peaches.
That was a really bad joke.
Peaches for 3 months.
Yep.
He dated her for 3 months before she finished him for a lifestyle of partying.
Before she finished him?
Before she finished him.
Man, she must blow.
I don't know, that's maybe cool. She just
wax gobbled. On, wax off.
So
gobbled him
on,
up. Gobbled him off. Up. Anyway, because she's a, her DJing,
sucks.
Like name is, the Trash Pussies.
So she's DJ Trash Pussy.
No, well, the band she's in. It's like the two of them doing
Is she trash or pussy?
Well, we're about to find out that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote on his MySpace
return to
thing. He said, he said, this is about her, you try too hard to be cool, it's lame, and all your so-called friends say that. Forget pussies, you're just white trash. Fuck off.
There's a bit of love in the room. There's a bit of love.
You know, I love MySpace. Social networking, community.
Positive messages.
Yep, currently owned by Murdoch.
Yeah, indeed. $500 million US.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's go back to my room.
And rumours that he's planning to charge people to use it.
Really?
Denied by the Australian, propaganda arm of News Limited, but...
John Howard?
Yeah. Rumours persist that he'll be charging people soon to be using MySpace.
Yes.
Yes. Well, use MySpace.
They won't. It's all going to be advertising. They can't charge for it, otherwise nobody will go there. That's the beauty of MySpace.
They'll all go back to MSN. Uh-huh.
And that has that stopped some web access in some areas. How?
What?
By charging fees? I mean, a lot of
it'll be an iPod thing. They'll charge you to update your blog. 99 cents to update your blog. That's what it'll be, I reckon. Just right. Like iTunes. How's good. That sound to you?
They won't use it. They'll use another one.
Yeah, of course.
There's about a million options out there.
I know.
Murdoch gets it, mate. Don't you fucking...
He's tech savvy.
Oh, he is so tech savvy. Anyway,
he's the
can
Steve
I move on
Jobs
now?
Of the newspaper world.
No, he's not. He's smarter than Jobs.
that wouldn't be hard.
A friend of Ping...
Yep.
I just can't read that so fast.
Let's go shopping.
It's not like Ping to be so bitter. He was such a lovely guy, but he is clearly very hurt because he absolutely idolized her. She just ditched him to chase older guys. And since she left Ping, he's been partying harder than ever.
She's dodging Ping's bullet.
That was good.
There's a nice little line right at the bottom of the article. It says, well, she is 17.
Bring it round.
And, well, not funny, this last one. I'm just going to throw it in there because it's more Geldof sightings.
Certainly.
Ronnie Wood comes out and basically slams Bono and Geldof. Yep. And the title of this is Wood Blasts Bono and Bob. Mm. Blasts Bono and Bob. Mm. And all the other news stories are equally as vitriolic, that Ronnie Wood had a go. Mm. Had a go at Bono and Bob.
Yep.
For all their charitable deeds,
and I'll just guy who gets paid in gold.
Well, I'll just read you the vitriol that spurned all these news stories from Ronnie Wood.
Spat out like that's a gob from Peter's mouth.
I believe the term is spewed forth.
I would never go into politics like Bono. Geldof and him can keep trying until the end of the earth, but it won't make a difference. I like to make people happy. Politics doesn't do that. Art does.
Lovely.
I thought he was a musician.
Isn't he lovely?
Isn't pop culture a wonderful mirror to our society?
It is.
So far, we've looked at some fantastic behaviours that the youth of today should really start to bring into their armoury of personal interactions.
Ooh, yes.
Gobbing. It's an important thing to bring back. You know?
Well, emotion, you know? Too few kids have experienced
passion.
The full range of emotions
passion.
And passion these days.
Passionate.
And I tell you what, the English language was going... To the gutter.
It was.
But now children are using the full range,
the gamut
of English language,
the gamut.
which is fantastic.
I think it is too, and I really think that they should be able to then bring that language to the next generation of children. 5-6-year-olds should be learning about these skills. These are social interaction skills. This is how you will exist in society by learning. How to do this stuff.
And what better place than on Murdoch's MySpace,
I reckon so. I reckon, and I'm challenging the Minister for Education to put MySpace...
Who would be?
A person. I'm challenging the Minister for Education, Federal Minister for Education.
You
I can do that.
My respect.
No, I can do that. No, oh, I, can, I know who it is. Okay, I just, yeah. But I'm just not mentioning it. I will challenge the Federal Minister for Education, because I don't work for them. Julie Bishop, to put MySpace into the kindergarten curriculum.
It's a good idea.
I reckon it's a great idea.
I think by the end of the millennium, no Australian child should be without a blog.
I agree.
Or without peaches.
In fact, the way she's going, none of us will be without peaches.
Fair enough.
She's peaches a generous woman.
For free. I'll walk in the Black Forest. 88.5 FM. 27 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. 9816-2938 is the number.
A walk in the Black Forest. Part of the Jean Collective.
Girls have more rules than the guys. Don't spit on me, don't kiss me, don't squeeze my nipples, don't spank my ass. Don't lick my ass. Don't smell my ass. Don't go anywhere near my ass.
Like every time you get on set, when you talk to the guy you're going to work with, he says, what are your do's and don'ts? And the guys follow the do's and don'ts. And if they don't, I twist their balls.
You're amazing.
For me, I don't... This is going to sound so stupid, too. I don't like anybody to stick their tongue in my ear.
Oh, yeah.
How come that chicken fingering at
us? Yes, Brad, play with that pussy.
He's not a big pussy player,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, really not.
No, you don't have to do that then.
Yeah. Why? You don't like the pussy?
No.
You don't like the pussy? Who doesn't like the pussy?
God said in the book of Genesis that in the days of the patriarch Abraham and his nephew Lot, there existed two very wicked cities by the names of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Don't pull my hair, don't put your fingers in my vagina.
Genesis records that God destroyed these two wicked cities as well as the cities of Admah and Zeboah miraculously by raining down upon them fire and brimstone from out of heaven.
Oh. Oh. I hate when guys just try to stick their finger up your ass.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? That's not okay. You didn't ask me. I'm not prepared for that. You know? Oh.
Now return you to your regularly scheduled program, A Walk in the Black Forest, part of the Jean Collective.
You are a sick, sick man.
Didn't you like taking, was that Peaches?
It is blasphemous to you, for you, you sir, to say those things about the porn industry. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy, I say.
Never.
Damn you all to jizz heaven.
Pity his name wasn't Kling. And it'd be Kling Peaches.
That's actually quite...
I like that. That's quite good. But Ping Peaches is okay. Peaches,
yeah,
Ping.
Not as funny as my joke.
No, your joke is funnier. It's around about 33 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock here on 2RRR 88.5.
Just can we give the Walmart...
URL?
No, not the Walmart. That's why I didn't want to say it. No, the Labor Rights, International Labor Rights.
Dude,
URL.
Over there.
Dub, dub, dub.
No.
Just
laborrights.org.
Why not dub?
Don't embellish the URL. Just read it as written.
Labor Rights, which is LOBOR rights, all one word, lowercase, .org.
Yep, check it
out. Org being ORG.
And you have not heard the last of Walmart on this very program.
Mm.
We shall not give up the fight.
Well, I would have hoped that we would hear the end of it because...
Oh, yeah, because they don't come in.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be nice. It will end when they say we're not coming to a
So hopefully that'll be the end of it.
hopefully.
Now, speaking of something being the end of it,
yep.
I came across something quite remarkable today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't today, it was the other day, but let's pretend it was today and that I didn't say the stuff that came up.
Dude, all men have them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's really weird. I looked down and... Sure. Anyway.
Yeah, look, most people don't realise that you're supposed to have two.
There we go.
That'd explain the hobbling.
The look of stun on your
face. You've only got one.
Was pretty much the same look Ping would have given when Peaches dropped him. That was beautiful.
Or the fact that when he found out she had two.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ping Peaches.
Peaches for free. Canned Peaches.
Come on, get it on.
Which would happen if she gets locked up. She'd be canned Peaches.
Come on, double it.
Anyway.
What was the other, line?
All right, let's just forget those two, okay? Let's get on with me. Let's just talk, shall we? Hi. Are you listening at home? Because I love you.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, this week in...
You know, in stand-up, you're supposed to have one funny line every 10 seconds.
Oh, really?
Our quota's going.
So when's yours going to come? Yours going to come in sometime today?
I did mine last week.
Okay. Now, something unusual that started this week was in India. They opened up one of an unusually themed restaurant. Now, obviously, we're used to our McDonald's. We're used to, you know, KFC and Hungry Jackson's. Mm-hmm. Now, in India, they went a different way. An unusual way, but a different way. Mm-hmm. And they opened up the very first in the Hitler's Cross franchise.
What?
The Hitler's Cross franchise of restaurants. Now, the owner of Hitler's Cross, which is in downtown Mumbai, has said that we want it to be different. This is one name sure. that will stay in people's minds. I think roughly most of the globe will remember Hitler's Cross restaurant.
So what is it, like a theme restaurant?
It is a theme restaurant.
Just named, right? What's the theme?
It's a new restaurant in India's financial hub. It's named after Adolf Hitler and promoted with posters showing the German leader and Nazi swastikas. In fact, from this picture, you can see on the front it's a massive red sign with a ingrate swastika.
Lovely.
Lovely. You know, let's be honest.
These people are from the All Publicity is Good Publicity.
Serve curry?
I believe they do. I believe they do. But the interesting thing is, the swastika actually has deep origins in Indian society. In Hindu tradition, it remains a sacred symbol. So...
The flyfot.
What?
The flyfot.
Fuck you. Did you hear what he just called me?
I did, a flyfot.
Yeah, peach this. Yeah. Anyway, so it goes on to say here, the small restaurant, its interior done out in the Nazi colours of red, white and black, also has a lounge for smoking the exotic Indian water pipe, the hookah.
Nice.
Which is interesting. Apparently out the back they also have a nice area to sit down. Apparently it's all gas powered. Anyway, I won't go into that now. A huge portrait of a stern looking Führer greets visitors at the door.
Yeah, a Sydney band called Zyklon B.
Really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Karen.
The cross in the restaurant's name refers to the swastika, blah 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 blah. Now, okay, the restaurant manager has gone on to say, this place is not about wars or crimes, but where people come to relax and enjoy a meal. Now, this set me thinking.
I'm actually speechless.
This can't be real.
I'm so speechless. I can't even think of anything.
No, but this isn't all. The weird thing is also, this week in Cambodia, they opened up a Pol Pot-themed restaurant.
Oh, they didn't.
It was interesting. What they've done is they've adorned the walls with skulls. And it's an unusual menu. They won't say what the meat is, but it's fresh, and it comes straight off the bone. But anyway, let's leave that alone. Now,
I'd like to say we're not journalists.
It got me to thinking about other themed restaurants that could be going. So I'm thinking, look, if we're going to go for genocidal leaders, let's come up with some more. We can't just stick with Hitler.
Can we have a John Howard restaurant?
We could. We
can't have that.
Why?
Why not? The populace would be in uproar.
51% of the population would like it, though.
Now, I believe that the Stalin-themed restaurant...
Call it Howard's Battler's Steakhouse.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
That'd work for me.
What happens is when you go in there, you actually leave owing them 10%.
I heard that, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Okay, funny.
Now, interestingly enough, the Stalin...
You never own the steak that you're eating.
That's
never.
Right. The Stalin-themed restaurant, which I was planning on opening, actually specialises in frozen meals, which they actually store in the snow, which is interesting. They've got a freezer out the back.
The problem is that once you go in, you can't come out.
Yes, that's also a problem. Yeah, apparently, when you go in, there's some kind of wall. I don't know how you get in, but you can't get back out, so that's a problem.
Exactly.
Now, also, the food at the Hitler's Cross restaurant has unusual names. Instead of kebabs, they're called the Spears.
Nice.
So you can have a Rogan Josh spear.
That's in poor taste.
Now also
spear wasn't involved.
The meatball dish is called the Goebbels.
Just a
and of
just
course
lead.
Now, of course, the meatballs dish is
about
Goebbels.
About a 7-year running gag, really.
That was fun.
And the
I got the Goebbels.
The entree meatballs dish is called the Hitler because you only get one. But anyway, there you go.
It absolutely frightens me, and we should actually say that this is that's not a piss take. That is a real restaurant Mumbai.
This is actually out of Reuters. Reuters reporting this early this week.
It's absolutely stunning that someone would.
We'd love to give you the URL, but we'd have to manufacture it.
Yes, go to yahoonews.com.au.
It's just stunning that someone would actually think that there's actually an idea of doing that.
Yeah. Why would you go that high, though? You know, surely there's so many other celebrities in the world that you could... Well, did I just call Hitler a celebrity?
Well, you did.
Well, it's interesting how they do it here. They're saying,
I swear he was on the Emmys the other day.
Hitler?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Is he stinky?
Kelly movie.
It says here, we are not promoting Hitler. I don't quite see how they're not, but apparently they're not. But we want people to tell people we are different in the way he was different.
I'm stunned. I actually have nothing to say apart from the fact that I believe Prince Harry might be a fairly regular guest.
Well, I hope you come up with some funny lines because I'm pretty much out.
It's not so much. I cannot contemplate the immense stupidity of this place.
Well, it's a nice
restaurant. Owners of this place. It's just like, right, so are we going to open another branch of it? Say in Tel Aviv.
Well.
I don't mean that in a cynical or sarcastic way. It's just like, it's just that, how fucking stupid are these people? That's what I'd like to know.
I think they did it just so I could make a joke out of it. I just thought it was all about me. Is it
not
all about me?
No, it's not. No. Didn't you get that memo?
No, I didn't.
Or that meeting.
But the owner's name is Punit Shoblock.
Well, he's a fucking idiot.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I think that's all we're doing on this. We'll be back after
I think we should double it.
Double this.
Speaking of the deep south as we were, that was Isley off the album called Room Noises, and the track was Marvelous Things.
Who's Isley?
They're a band of three sisters and a brother and some random.
What is it?
Isley, as in Moss Isley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Where they go from?
Yeah.
See, I thought that was a joke, wasn't it?
No. Quarter to 12 here on...
Did you know that Toni Collette has put an album out?
She has.
I haven't heard it.
With her boyfriend, who was the drummer in Gilbertson.
Oh.
Is his name Ping?
No.
His name's Pong. Mm. They're brothers, Ping and Pong. Yeah. One smells, the other just pings a lot.
All right.
Yeah, this is going so well, isn't it?
Hey! All right?
Goebbels. Got it.
Thank you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
The spears.
I like the spears.
All right.
That'd be better for an asparagus risotto.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Risotto with spears.
Yes, that's it.
With asparagus spears.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Right.
Do we need to say the asparagus bit, or do the spears just...
No, it works.
No.
All right.
Okay.
You ready?
It's up to you, yeah.
Right. I just want to before we go into it, you've got a metaphysical...
I have a metaphysical challenge.
...conundrum which is coming up.
Yep.
Well, before we do that, I just wanted to share with you, not an amusing story, but an interesting story about the way record labels are starting to innovate.
That's an interesting beginning point.
Yes. Now, we all know that all the big five would prefer you to actually have one little copy of the music that you can't transfer onto anything that you can just listen to once.
Yep.
That would then self-destruct, and then you'll have to come back and buy another copy if you want to hear the song again.
Yes.
That would be their ideal world.
It would be.
It hasn't got that far, but it's getting that far. So this little label here called Network, N-E-T-T-W-E-R-K.
Canadian label.
They are a Canadian label.
Oh, Sarah McLachlan's label.
X label, yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
X label. Yeah.
X-label,
yep. Well, she's an idiot then, isn't she? Yeah. They also released...
Steady on.
Oh, come on, throw it out there. Avril Lavigne is on her label.
Yep.
On their label.
Yep.
Do you know why?
Falling Joy's the one that's released on their label, actually.
Really? She should be a country singer, that's why.
Right.
Avril Lavigne.
And but we're talking in particular about the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
Not particular. Do you know about this, Peter?
I don't know about this story particularly. I do know about the Bare Naked Ladies.
Right, not a big fan myself.
It's been 1 week since you did me. That's the one. Name checked Mulder and Scully from the X-Files 3 years after it was over.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got the weird, you don't like Weird Al at all, do you?
No.
You hate him, don't you?
Do you think he's a tool?
No, he's actually... I used to hate him, too.
until a couple of years ago. Until started to listen to some of the better stuff he's done. Mm. He takes them off at one point. Anyway, you don't really care. You got to see this now. He's got his arms folded, and that's his body language for move on because I don't fucking care.
That's pretty right. Oh, I could do this. How about that?
If I had my
crossed and arms folded.
I almost have my camera here, Peter. If I did, it would be going up on the website this evening. Anyway, these people, Terry McBride,
mm-hmm.
no relation,
mm-hmm.
Is the CEO of Network Music Group.
Mm-hmm. I don't like him already.
No, I hate him too.
In Vancouver.
Mm.
Well, you won't in a minute.
Oh.
They were sitting down with their promotions people.
Yep.
And talking about what they can do to promote the Bare Naked Ladies album, the new one coming out.
How about not release it at all?
Ooh. They were talking about... They were talking about NASCAR promotions, placements in the Sims video game.
Of course, yep. New media. Working
various
on
other
new media
pieces until he came out with this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to release the raw Pro Tools tracks on MySpace.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, the idea is that they're going to release all of the tracks.
Yep.
The multi-tracks, yep. as in the guitar, the bass, the drums.
Far out.
For the entire album
mm-hmm.
within 2 weeks of the release.
Yep.
And anybody who wants to download them can download them, remix them to their heart's content,
yep.
and then upload the songs.
Nice.
Now, this is interesting because this is not exactly this, but something similar has been done not that long ago with a couple of dance acts. And what they were doing is they were releasing their beats and stuff like that. I don't remember if it was the Gorillaz, but it was someone like that. And what they did was they released all their beats and stuff, and on the website was a scratch pad. And what you do is...
Yeah, right, you play it on the site.
You could play it on the site. So you could either download and do it, or you could do it on the site and record it into the site and upload it from the site.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's an interesting idea.
And Mogwai did it too on Happy Songs, Happy People. They actually even gave you the software on the disc.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Gave you a free copy of Reason.
Yeah, right, okay.
Reason to believe.
Didn't Reason, did
they? Reason,
it was Reason, yeah.
To believe.
But like a massively crippled piece.
Yeah,
of
yeah, right, yeah. Because Reason's a software. Maybe they converted everything.
That's what I said. They gave you the software.
Yeah, but Reason isn't MIDI based. Well, it's MIDI based, but it's all software instruments. It's not like real instruments and keyboards and stuff.
I think it was Reason. I can't remember what it was. I'll check when I go home and get the album.
Anyway. So this is the direction we're heading. Some companies trying to invest in more and more secure, crippling technologies. Mm. Some companies like Network. That's Netwerk. I would suggest you go to their website and buy everything they sell.
Including Sarah McLachlan.
Yes, old Sarah McLachlan.
Massively, even that hoe. even go buy her stuff. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the neighbour would like to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, go support them. And hopefully we'll see more interesting ways to get music out there that support everybody. I think that's an awesome
As a record idea. Label, they have been an amazing community-building tool for fans. They used to have fan clubs for all their artists, send
get
them exclusive CDs, and send them free. I mean, I joined the Sarah McLachlan fan club years and years and years ago. You got autographed photos.
You would.
Free. I did. I didn't.
Did you?
No. I've got an autographed photo.
Didn't come in back?
I've got an autographed CD.
You do?
It says, to Abe, love Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, you're a good man. Anyway.
She loves me secretly.
Metaphysical conundrum. I was watching.
Metaphysical conundrum.
I was watching Enough Rope. I don't know, this isn't funny, but it just really twigged me as something which I thought was pretty bizarre.
Okay.
I was watching Enough Rope, and
how much is Enough Rope?
Not enough.
See, that in itself is a metaphysical conundrum.
Really, you don't like Andrew?
Not anymore. No,
why not?
He's a good interviewer.
He's a prat.
Is this part of your story, or just
no?
Why is he a prat?
I just don't like him.
Oh, why? You gotta have a reason.
No, I don't.
I mean, I'll tell you why I don't like you.
Fair enough. No, I don't have a reason. I just don't like him.
Okay, you have two bathtubs.
Right, yeah, look. And to be fair, it goes back to Money or the Gun.
Now,
back to all those things. I've never liked Denton as a comedian, and I've never liked Denton as an interviewer, and I don't like the character that he portrays as a public figure. I'm sure in the private, he might be a totally different guy, but as a public figure, I've never liked that character that he portrays. So there's my reasons. They're not bad.
Right, yeah, look, see...
I'm wrong?
Yes.
No, this is why we have a Liberal government.
Why?
Idiots who don't think through things properly.
Like me?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll be voting Liberal at the next thing. I wonder who's running in my seat.
Do I have anyone?
you vote Liberal, you'll be running in your seat.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, back to Enough Rope. I was watching Enough Rope, and to be fair, therefore I was watching it, so therefore at least I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, good on you, Pete.
And Mike Willacy was on.
Oh, God, I saw that.
Now, Willacy...
He was just on it, or is he being interviewed?
He's being interviewed. Willacy has had,
in the audience.
Willacy's had an epiphany.
He has. He's a Christian.
He's now... He's found God.
Mm.
Oh, God.
And... It was over some major thing that he had, and he found God, and he's met this woman who has stigmata, and you know, he's found
the 12-inch or just
I think he's actually got, I think he's actually downloaded the whole album.
Like, actually, I've got it here actually. If you want to play it,
from what I hear, he's pretty close to a 12-inch.
So all of these things, right? Done all of this.
Did you bring your cable?
I know. Yeah, I did actually. Yes, I did. Yes,
right,
I did.
So carry on.
So he did all, he's found God, he's decided that he's the, like, you know, a, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you know, Christian and God, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's also a journalist, unlike us. Sure. So he's decided that, you know, you have to prove your faith. Now, if anyone's actually studied religion, you know the basic idea that, faith, proof denies faith, therefore, you know, I don't exist type stuff if you follow, it's all part of, if you follow Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide, there's a whole section on it about God saying that you can't prove that I exist, because if you try and prove I exist, that denies the whole concept of faith, because faith is meant to be a leap of, it's all bullshit.
That's like the theory.
I don't believe that's you're like the quoting Douglas Adams as a serious metaphysical argument.
I will also quote 13 years of Catholic education as a serious metaphysical argument.
Yeah, and that's an even better way of doing it, isn't it? It's like, yeah, they'd say no.
And the fact that the fact that science is
faith-based
anyway.
Oh, completely.
They're open to all different forms.
They have no self-interest in proving that he exists.
However, back to the biblical text,
that science is faith-based as well, because as we found out this week, Pluto is in fact not a planet, and we have believed for many, many years that Pluto is in fact a planet because
I thought he was Mickey Mouse's dog.
He was that too. But we believe the scientific avatars that are the, you know, the new priests, which are the scientists, that it was a planet, when in fact it's not.
You know, I reckon the whole concept of the construction of the universe is just too complex for science.
No mention of the fact that we recategorise what an actual planet
is. Isn't that a wink?
I think we need to look at the concept of an intelligent designer. But...
Oh, God.
I think we need to redefine the role of Prime Minister, and maybe that would render him redundant.
I would hope so. Mm. Or at least impotent. I mean, probably already is. But back to...
No, he's got a daughter.
That's true, and two sons.
Oh, really?
One of which crashed the car into the gates of the lodge.
Oh, really?
Yes, while drinking. But back to the subtext. This was years, 3 or 4 years ago. But back to the subtext. So, Willacy says, "I need proof." Now, what he was talking about was the concept that on the Shroud of Turin, the rather debunked but also rebunked, allegedly the shroud of Jesus after he had been taken off the cross, it contains blood. They're trying to reconstruct the DNA profile of Jesus from that blood. Now, I was thinking in this era of therapeutic cloning, and particularly with the religious right taking therapeutic cloning to the furthest extreme, what would happen if you cloned Jesus?
Well, Tony Abbott...
Think about the metaphysical content of cloning Jesus.
Well,
is an awesome idea.
Well, Tony Abbott would probably have a friend.
That's very true.
Now, what...
Could be in the cabinet like that.
Can I just
or
review...
Or a competitor.
I just review that for a second?
Yes.
So, the Christians are wanting to clone Jesus...
No. They're wanting to reconstruct the DNA of Jesus from the Shroud of Turin in order to prove that it is, in fact, Jesus.
How can you reconstruct DNA? You've either got the DNA and you can reconstruct the body.
The DNA has degraded over time because allegedly it's...
So they're going to rebuild the DNA.
Rebuild the DNA.
You can't do that.
He's the Son of God. Why would his DNA deconstruct? What's going on here?
Willacy was basically saying that...
it's like demolishing a house and holding up a splinter and saying, oh, let's rebuild this house.
What Willacy says is we currently don't have the technology, but we will.
No shit, sure.
Oh, God, when we phase through planets and bloody flying supercars.
I think the concept of cloning
Jesus... I think it's awesome. Are they actually considering it?
I don't know. That was just me. I was sitting there watching it going, hold it, he's talking about DNA... DNA means clones. Clones means cloning Jesus. Does that mean that the scientist becomes God?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Father of God. Father of Jesus. Or Holy Trinity.
Or does that actually mean...
That means the ethyl alcohol becomes like the Holy Spirit.
Or does that mean that the Christian right, who was so against cloning, now have to change their minds... theologically and ethically, so they can in fact clone their own Messiah. Well, and if they do clone their own Messiah, how can they? Because if a person is actually if it's a nature versus nurture argument, then it's not going to be Jesus. It's just some dude with Jesus' DNA.
Correct.
Because all he is actually the son of Mary and Joseph. Well, Mary and some dude.
Got to admit, though, it's a pretty good gig.
So for me, I don't think the debate should be about...
So let me look at your CV, Jesus. So, son of God.
So are you actually a legal immigrant to this country?
So let me get this straight. You left school and you became the son
of God.
Of
no,
God.
No,
do you have any references for that?
He got a trade.
He did get a trade.
He got a trade. He went to TAFE, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
You well, probably knew him.
For your apprenticeship? Yeah, I think he went through your... Does he have any references?
Yeah, carpentry and marketing.
I was going to say, he's got his carpentry degree.
He's got his carpentry qualification.
But he needed marketing as well.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. That's it's a new world. You got to get your message across.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
hospitality skills to be able to...
Yeah, they say something about all the cheesemakers.
Let's get this right. So you went to the market and you threw all the moneylender stuff around. Who said you could do that?
You know way too much about the Bible.
What you don't know is I am actually...
Would the interview ask him what drugs he was on when he turned water into wine?
That's very true.
It's more the people around him what drugs they were on. He's just going, do you want some water? And they're going, dude, wine!
And why is he... What has he got against Walmart for, like, mass-producing loaves and fishes?
Mm.
They can just quite happily walk down the shop and pick up some cheap Chinese versions.
And what I'd like to know is who would get the endorsement contract for Jesus?
That's...
Jesus. I like Nike.
Wasn't there a TV show about Jesus came back to Earth?
Yeah, it was on the ABC. Yeah. There was that. Yeah, I didn't. I saw the start, but I didn't see the rest.
Saw it, yeah.
Was it good?
No,
not really.
No.
But, did you see it?
No.
So hold on a second. Up
to your usual reviewing standards, though.
Oh, sure, yes.
When I said it was good,
yeah.
And you said no,
I was making shit up.
What bit of it did you see?
The trailer.
It was about Jesus came back to Earth.
Yes.
And the publicists were all working on him.
Mm, that's right.
And then they turned their eyes to publicity and tried to push the message.
Which didn't work.
It didn't work.
Because we're a world full of heathens. So, ladies and gentlemen, ponder.
I think he gave up the account.
He did.
I would.
Ponder. Not this debate on...
2,000 years of history, I'd give up the account.
Ponder. Not. I would too. Ponder the debate not on genetic cloning, ladies and gentlemen. Ponder the debate on ecumenical cloning.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Do we want Jesus cloned? And if he is, who will indeed be God?
And the thing is...
It'd be good to have your own little Jesus servant, wouldn't it?
So if Jesus worked at Holden, does that mean Jesus built my hot rod?
It could be. And if you're in the Catholic Church, when you actually metaphysically eat the body of Christ, when you get Eucharist, you could actually eat the real body of Christ.
Yeah. Hey, Jesus, what do you make
body
of Christ
for dinner
tonight?
Finger.
Oh, fish.
But the question is...
Bit of wine?
If you do eat the body of Christ, do you swallow?
Well, now you wash it down with the blood of Christ.
That was so a show-ending tag.
It was.
I know, but no one shut up, so...
No, do it again.
Do it again.
No.